You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Palm Sunday is one of those special days which sparks a very clear image in the mind of anyone who has ever heard the gospel story. The picture before you is that of a man riding along the dusty road leading to the city of Jerusalem. It looks for all the world like a victory celebration, like the kind of event you would arrange to greet a celebrity. Crowds of people go before him, spreading out their clothes and branches from the nearby palm trees in his path. Children sing their hosannas, and the multitudes of people who go before and who follow after are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" But there's something a little strange, or at least inconsistent, about that scene. It's not really what you would expect. The central figure comes riding on a donkey instead of a prancing white horse. On his flanks are not battalions of crack soldiers, but it was the common, ordinary people of the day who formed his honor guard. No city fathers rolling out the red carpet, but little children spreading their palm branches. And his itinerary would lead not to a magnificent banquet hall, but to a bloody cross. But that's the Jesus of Palm Sunday. He is indeed the King, and on this special festival day, we join the Church of all ages to sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Make no mistake about it, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Nothing will ever change that. The Palm Sunday account in the New Testament Gospel begins by quoting the ringing words of the prophet, "Daughters of Zion, behold, your King comes to you." The people of Jesus' day needed to hear that, and the people of Palm Sunday 1989 need to hear it just as well. Trust not in human powers or wisdom. Don't bow down before phony gods invented or fabricated in the human mind or heart. And don't think that if you ignore him, it will make him any less king. Here is the message of this day, which marks the beginning of Holy Week. People of God, here is your servant king. Crown him Lord of all. And that, I believe, is certainly one of the thoughts that St. Paul had in mind when he wrote some very familiar words to the Christians at Philippi and to the Church of all ages. They are words traditionally used in the Church on Palm Sunday, and words which I would share with you on this special day. Listen, please, to the Word of God from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What a wonderful description of our Lord. This same Jesus, riding on a donkey and heading for a criminal's cross, was in the beginning with God. He himself is very God of very God. Some would limit him to the role of philosopher, teacher, or humanitarian, but he is so much more. In him, the scripture says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. By him all things were made, and without him nothing was made, and he enters our world not to be a part-time ruler and not to be a king of part of our lives. Satan is always tempting us to receive Jesus Christ as a God in the box, as a God whom we can put on a shelf and then let out to be a part of our lives when and where it's convenient for us. But the reality is that He fills all things. In Him we live and move and have our being. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. So great is His majesty that in His coming, the Bible says, the glory of the Lord has risen upon all people, and earthly kings will bow down before Him. And His kingdom will have no end. In the book of Revelation, St. John the Divine describes this Jesus as the one who says, I am the first and the last. I am He who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. King of the universe before there even was a universe. King of the valleys and the mountains and the deep places of the sea. King who holds in His hand all the forces of death and the grave and hell itself, and King for all ages. Daughter of Zion, behold, your King comes. But look how He comes. Meek and riding on a donkey and a colt, the offspring of a donkey. Nothing very kingly about that. But that's the way it was with Jesus. For He came to this earth as both true God and true man. He is called both the mighty Lord of all and the lowliest servant of all. And that's the miracle and the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the divine paradox. There never was anyone like Him, and there never will be. He who created all things in heaven and on earth comes to His created world and has no place even to lay His head. You would never expect a king to stoop and wash the smelly feet of His servants, but this King does. He who sits on the highest throne of heaven from eternity comes to earth and takes for a throne the bloody criminal's cross. He before whom the cherubim and seraphim bow with awe and adoration is despised and rejected by men, beaten and spit upon and nailed to a cross to suffer death by cruel execution. But God help us to see Him, to believe in Him, to worship Him in just that way. Did you hear what St. Paul wrote in our scripture text? This Jesus, he said, although He was God, did not consider His being equal with God as something to be grasped, but He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. No man would take His life from Him. He would not be crucified as an unfortunate victim of injustice, but He would give His life. The shepherd laying down His life for the sheep. He humbled Himself and gave Himself over to the cruel death of the cross. As a true human being, He suffered not only the physical torment of the crucifixion, but also the burden of the sin and the guilt of all mankind, of each and every one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray, the prophet reminds us. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what sin really is, and we are all guilty of it. Each one of us has a burden of sin that separates us from the righteous and holy God. That's not just the problem of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's not just the problem of the hardened criminal or the heathen on the other side of the world. That's my problem, and it's yours, because each one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen to how the prophet goes on. The Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That's the exciting announcement. That's the good news. Everything that's wrong in my life and in your life has been taken off of us by a gracious Heavenly Father and placed on the one whom He calls the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the life that He offered on our behalf as our substitute was not just one sinner dying in the place of another sinner. It was the spotless, sinless, holy, and almighty Son of God who laid down His life for us in our place. And that's what makes His sacrifice so perfect and so effective. Even in the lowest moment of His humility, He never stopped being true God, but He allowed Himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. St. Peter describes Him as being holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But He bore our sins in His body. He took our guilt. He endured our punishment in that holy and divine body. He suffered our separation from God. Indeed, as the Scripture tells us, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For our sake and in our place, he humbled himself, emptied himself of his divine glory, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Or, as St. Matthew wrote, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. But it is precisely in this great act of humbling himself that he reigns most powerfully and gloriously. Therefore, the Scripture says, on account of, as a result of his humbling himself, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. His name for all eternity will be Jesus, which means Savior. His name will be Lord and King. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hundreds of years before he was born, the prophet announced that his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is the Father's will that lost and condemned sinners should be returned to his kingdom. And in his suffering and death and resurrection, in his obedience to the will of his Father, all of God's great and glorious plan for the salvation of all people is accomplished. There remains no enemy to be defeated. Our sin cannot condemn us. Our guilt cannot destroy us. Our grave will not hold us. Satan cannot overpower us. Instead, we who are his by faith can say confidently and triumphantly, "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He is King of kings and Lord of lords, not only in the distant sometime of an eternity to come, but also in the day-by-day life we live in the here and now. And so the text says to each of us still today, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Live your lives, the Savior says, even as the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve. A big order, to be sure, and one that is humanly impossible. It goes against the grain of our human desire and experience. Our nature is such that we would rather be served than serve. We would rather be number one than to be the lowliest servant of people who don't even deserve our humble service. The world says that life is like a pyramid, and the person who has it made is the one who has made his or her way to the peak of the pyramid, standing there as king of the mountain. But God says that's not the way it is among his people. And that's not the mark of a great life in God's sight. Life is indeed like a pyramid, and the great person is indeed the one who is at the peak of the pyramid. But in Christ Jesus, God has turned that pyramid upside down. And the great person in the sight of God is the one who stands not up there at the peak as Lord and Master of other people, but rather down there at the peak, bearing the burdens of others, even as our Lord has borne our burdens in his own body. A large order indeed, and one that is possible only for those who by faith in Christ Jesus now live the new life. For it is in receiving love that we have the power to love. It is in being forgiven that we have the grace to forgive and to live a life that pleases God. And it is as a result of our being served that we are able to serve. So St. Paul writes to and for all the people of God, "The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And that, too, is what it means to crown him Lord of all. It is God's will that here and now believing tongues should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for in that way our neighbor is served and our God is praised. For that day is surely coming when, at the name of Jesus, in the day of his coming again as Lord and Judge of all, every knee will bow. and that includes the knees of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's God's good word to us on this Palm Sunday. We enter today another Holy Week when we will have the opportunity to watch with him in his most bitter suffering and cruel death on the cross. And we look forward to that glorious festival of the resurrection of our Lord, when we will again rejoice in the living proof that he is indeed King of kings and Lord of lords. May our God draw us ever closer to himself by his powerful word and promise, so that each one of us may be part of that blessed crowd of which the hymn writer speaks, "Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him, both now and forevermore. Amen. So be it, Lord. Amen."